you will, find the scripture in Acts 1, 7, and 9. We've been here a lot of Sundays, and some of you think we're going to wear this out. I promise you we won't. We won't do that. Let me read it to you. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth." After he had said this, he was taken up as they were watching, and a cloud took him out of their sight. Let's pray. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit, any word of knowledge given to me that you would have me direct or speak into a person's life or their situation. If you prompt me with it, Lord, I want to be obedient to speak to it. Lord, I'm a teacher of your word. And for those of us who teach your word, we are raised to a higher standard. There's a more strict judgment on us than you give anybody else. Rightfully so. And Lord, I accept my place in rightly dividing your truth and your word. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you today. Thanks for being with us. Today is Pentecost. Pentecost does not mean Holy Spirit. Pentecost means 50. Like Pentagon, meaning the five sides. So it is the 50th day after the resurrection is when he sent the Holy Spirit to his church. If you're new today or a guest today, we are in a series called The Next 40 Days. We've been focusing on the life of Christ after the resurrection. And here at the beginning of May, we've been dealing with the ascension of Christ. May the 10th is a Thursday, was a Thursday, and that was called Ascension Day. You need to know that after the Lord ascended into heaven, he had 120 men and women meet in a room, and they were there for 10 days. And so after those 10 days, if you add it to the 40 days, then the Lord sent the Holy Spirit upon the church in Acts chapter 2. You may be wondering how all this happens, and I'm going to try to make it as plain with you as I can. Jesus in his ascension, he ascended. He's not going to be king. He is king, right? And he's on the throne. It says he sympathizes with us. He intercedes with us there. And he's directing the mission of the church. But you need to understand, we're going to see this at the end of the sermon. He says it was necessary and more important for him to go there. Because the way he operates now, he operates from the throne, but he does it through his Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit is there and working, leading, guiding to all truth, conviction, sin, judgment, doing all that he does. The Holy Spirit is doing his work. Jesus is on the throne, sympathizing, interceding, directing the mission of the church, empowering. But then through his Holy Spirit, he is working in and through all of us. I want you to look at Ephesians 4, 9, and 10. Maybe this will be helpful for you to even understand it or to explain it to someone else. Paul writes, "But what does he ascended mean except that he descended to the lower parts of the earth, even to a point of his preaching when his body was in the tomb?" And it's called the harrowing of hell, where he's preaching to the prisoners. "The one who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens." Look at that last line. "That he might fill all things." When Jesus was on earth, he was limited in what he could do. Limited in where he could go. You're going to find out in scripture here in a moment that when he went to the ascended king, to his throne, sympathizes, intercedes, directs the mission of the church, then he is working through his Holy Spirit, and it's empowering all of us. So now he can be everywhere, omnipresent. He's absolutely everywhere because of the Holy Spirit. I want you to look at Acts 1. We're going to look at just verses 8 and 9 because this is going to be important later on. And you know this, but and it's so simple you'll skip right over it. But I want you to understand this. In verse 89, "You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." He's talking about the Holy Spirit there. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the earth. And after he had said this, he was taking up, as they were watching, a cloud took him out. His last mention of anything was the Holy Spirit. And you're going to find out in a moment that his ascending caused the descending of the Holy Spirit. Because the last thing he mentions before he ascends is the Holy Spirit and the mission of the church. And so his ascension is embarking and welcoming in the descending of the Holy Spirit on the church. G. Campbell Morgan has a quote that I found in a book that I've been reading called The Unseen Real about the ascension. And I want to walk you through this. You're probably going to get ahead of me, but I'm going to call you back if you're ahead of me. He said, I love this. I loved it so much I wanted to share it with you. G. Campbell Morgan wrote that when the Spirit came, the life of Jesus actually passed into their lives. In half an hour after Pentecost, they knew more about Jesus than they had ever known before. Now, we'll go, just stop there with me. All right? They lived with Jesus. They ministered with Jesus. But when the Holy Spirit descended, within a half hour after he came, they knew more about Jesus than ever before. And you've probably got a great question there. And the question is, why? It's because the Holy Spirit knows everything. Every thought you've ever had in your mind, he knows it. Every idle word you have spoken to either someone else or to yourself behind a closed door, he heard it. He knows it all. He knows secrets that your spouse don't even know about you. He knows. When I'm ministering to somebody, I actually do the opposite of what I have you do on Sunday mornings. And I have you to pray to the Father from your heart to the heart of the Father. Tell him you love him. Tell him thanks. I do the reverse of that in a counseling session. I ask the Father to minister to you from his heart to yours. Just make the transition. And the things that the Holy Spirit knows where to go. Listen, when the Holy Spirit knows the moment that Satan's lies landed in my mind, in my life. He knows exactly the precise moment that I was wounded by the world or by my flesh or by the enemy himself. He knows the exact moment of that. And so there, he knows Jesus very, very well. And the Holy Spirit is always giving the seal of approval that Jesus is who he is. So they knew Jesus more through the Holy Spirit than they did when they were living with him. Why? Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is always connecting you to Christ and reminding you of Christ as to what he does and who he is and how he goes about doing that. Then we have the rest of that. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus himself, risen and ascended, was now carrying out his mission through them. So Jesus is on the throne, and he's doing everything he's doing to us through the Holy Spirit, working through us. He's omnipresent. He can be everywhere at once. He's not limited in time and space and logistics. He's able to be there through the Holy Spirit. I love that. I love that quote so much. I wanted you to love it too. Because of Jesus' ascension and the sending of the Holy Spirit, now through the Spirit, we are blessed in our personal lives and as communities of faith. I said earlier, don't have the Holy Spirit being lower than Jesus. They're equals. It's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Have it more lateral instead of vertical. Have it where you don't have the Father's greater and then Jesus is under him and then under him is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is equal. It's how God reveals himself. We are blessed in our personal lives and a community of faith. I'm going to lead you through a lot of scripture here, all right? So if you're jotting down scripture, take it down. But you're probably going to have to do it in a hurry because I have a bunch of it. I don't want to say prove my point, but I also want to say so that you'll get the picture that the ascension of Jesus and the descending of the Holy Spirit go together. They are absolutely wrapped in one. They're not separate items. We are blessed through the Spirit. We are able to carry out the mission or given the power to witness all over. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. We're able to go. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the world. Who empowers that? Your self-will, your self-help, your self-righteousness? No, the Holy Spirit empowers that. We are able to carry out the mission of Christ through the Holy Spirit. Look at John 20. John 20, verses 21 and 22. It says, Jesus said to them, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." After saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." It's the Holy Spirit that breathes on you. My dad was a preacher and a singer. My dad really could preach, but he just thought he could sing. But he would sing. And my dad would be preaching and he'd just break out in a song. Occasionally, you know, through my ancestry, I probably want to do that, but I just bless in you and I don't. But I can remember my dad preaching and then breaking out in the old hymn, "Breathe on me. Holy Spirit, breathe on me." I can remember that. Where did that song come from? That song came from that verse right there. How do we carry out the mission of Christ? We ask the Holy Spirit to breathe on it. Not only to breathe on the mission, but to breathe on us. Receive the Holy Spirit. You ever done that with your kids, parents? You ever caught them when they're sleeping and it's the only time of the day they even resembled an angel? And you ever laid your hands on them and just asked the Holy Spirit to breathe over your children or to you? Please pray that for your pastor. Ask the Holy Spirit to breathe on us. Actually, the word Spirit means breath. Means the Old Testament, the New Testament is a picture. It's the breath of God that's being cast upon us. I'm going to get into another sermon. I'll hang on. We are able to live victoriously through the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 and 9 says, you, however, are not in the flesh now as believers, but we're in the Spirit. It says, and the Spirit of God lives in you. But if anyone does not have whose spirit? The Spirit of Christ. Mentions here the Spirit of Christ. He does not belong to him. We're able to live victoriously over sin because of the Spirit of Christ in us. He convicts us. He's the one that tells you no. Put the brakes on. You turned the wrong way. Not literally, but I'm talking about in your life. Don't go there. He gives you the warning signs that the bridge is out. Don't proceed any further. Turn around. That's the Holy Spirit doing that. It's the Spirit of Christ beckoning his children, just like you as a parent would warn your child about any danger that they would be in. I'm grateful the Holy Spirit does that to us. Grateful. We are able to overcome weaknesses. Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit also joins to help in our weaknesses. Because we do not know what to pray for as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. Not only is Jesus the King on his throne sympathizing with you and interceding with you, you have the Holy Spirit doing exactly the same thing. When you are going through those weakness times, I just think that is a beautiful picture of the Trinity. And I've told you over and over, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are always working on your behalf. so that you can walk as the man and the woman of God that you need to walk as on this earth. And it's not easy, and they know it's not easy. That's why they empower us, and that's why they intercede for us. We are able to forgive our enemies because of the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. Look at Acts 7, 55 and 60. This is the stoning of Stephen. But look how it starts off here. But Stephen, filled by the Holy Spirit. I mean, this is his execution, you all. And he's filled with the Holy Spirit. They're executing this young preacher, this dynamic young preacher. They are putting him to death. It says he is filled by the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven, saw God's glory with Jesus standing at him. Understand now, they're throwing rocks at him and stoning him while all this is going on. Standing at the right hand of God, and he said, look, I see the heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. Then they screamed at the top of their voices, covered their ears, and together they rushed against him. They threw him out of the city, began to stone him, and the witnesses laid their robes at the feet of this young man named Saul, who later on became the Apostle Paul. They were stoning Stephen as he called out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down. Stephen kneels down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And he's asking and saying this, he fell asleep and he died. Stephen didn't have the power to forgive his executioners. The only power he had was because he was filled with the Holy Spirit. If I leave it to you to ask you to ask the Lord to forgive your enemies, you won't do it. But the Spirit will empower you to do it. You're not going to do it in your flesh. You're going to go egg your house. Flatten their tires. Put a potato in a muffler. You're going to get them back. If I leave it up to your flesh, I promise you, you're not going to ask the Lord to forgive them. But the Spirit will empower you to say, I need you to forgive those, and in this case with Stephen, who have even taken my life. I need you to forgive him. Only the Spirit can do that. You can't do that. You can't do it. Through the Spirit, we are able to know God's beloved. Romans 8, 15 and 16. This is the spirit of adoption. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the spirit of adoption. By whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. Obviously grew up in the season that I grew up in, and still today at funerals, I hear the old song, In the Garden. And many of you all know that song. And it would have been special to my parents, special to my in-laws, special to me. But I remember the song, and if you know the line of it, let me not sing it, let me just recite it. I come to the garden alone while the dew is still on the roses. And he walks with me and he talks with me. You finish it. And he tells me that I am his own. It's this verse. It's the Spirit of God saying to you that you are his son and his daughter, reminding you that you belong to him. In a counseling session, in a time of ministry, when I ask the Father to minister from his heart to yours, a lot of times in prayer, they get a deep sense that the Lord is telling them that you belong to me, that you are mine. What's happening there? This is happening there. It's the spirit of adoption. I'm his son. Julie is his daughter. He will remind us that we belong to him. When the world is telling me I don't fit anywhere, the Spirit of God is saying that you are part of his family. that you belong to him. We are able to be bold and courageous. Acts 4, 8 through 13. Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit and said to them, rulers of the people and elders, we are being examined today about a good deed done to a disabled man, but by what means was he healed? Let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified, he's saying to them, you crucified him, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing here before you healthy. This Jesus is the stone rejected by you builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven given to people that which we might be saved by it. Who gave Peter the boldness and the courage to be able to say, you are the ones who crucified my Lord? Well, it was the Holy Spirit that did that. The Holy Spirit will give you the boldness you need and the courage that you need to be able to say those things. I have moved in this more in my life. I'm going to be real honest with you. I used to let you say stuff and me not respond. Now, if you say stuff and it's not in line with Scripture, I'll probably stop you and correct you. Not that I'm running around as the correction teacher here. But I'm just going, we've said enough junky stuff in our life. Let's say the truth. You know, we've let enough junky talk go on. Let's just say the truth. And I'm going to say this. Please don't hold it against me. I preach a lot of funerals today, and I hear the remarks, well, they're looking down from heaven. My parents are looking at Jesus. They're not looking at me. Do you understand? Stephen Warner from Russell Springs. We knew him. Know his brother Terry. Knew his parents. Steve Warner out of Nashville. Remember, there's a road named after him, and they spelled his name wrong on the sign. It was always kind of funny, we thought, in Russell County. I mean, he's got a song, Looking Through the Floor of Heaven, you know, and it sounds wonderful. But I'm just telling you, my parents, our son-in-law, they're fixed on Jesus. You know, but we just let a lot of stuff just walk along. It just doesn't even fit. Sometimes the Holy Spirit gives you the boldness and the courage to just even mention the truth. By the Holy Spirit, we are able to persevere in prayer. Ephesians 6, 18. Pray at all times, how? In the Spirit. The Spirit will prompt you to pray, and when he prompts you to pray, pray. With every prayer and request, stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all the saints. And the stay alert is that when the Holy Spirit prompts you, do it. Here's our problem. Sometimes we who love Jesus, we believe that prayer is the last resort when prayer should be the first response. And here's what we do. This is where the world has crept into your life. You're thinking, well, I can do it. God's gifted me. I'm creative. I'm intuitive. I'm intellectual. I'm strong. I have a sense that this is what the Lord wants me to do, and I'm going to do it. And there's no prayer about it. There's no prayer for it. There's nothing. It doesn't go the way you want it to. And then you get mad at the Lord because he didn't work it out when you and I didn't even consult him. And then you come to me and say, God doesn't do what you want him to. And I'm going, well, tell me what you did in this. And it's a first response, not a last resort. I had you pray for our team to go to Marizo. And they finished a day early. I'm going to give you a text from Drew at the end of the service saying thanks. They got the job done. And Greg called me on the way back. Greg led our team. They worked hard. It was heavy equipment, heavy lifting blocks, lifting up a building, jacking it up, laying it back down, making sure it's secure. And I got back, and Greg said, you know, preacher, he said, it all worked in order. everything just fell into place. He goes, it's because it was bathed in prayer, and it was. We had you praying, we were praying, others were praying that it would work together. But should it surprise us? You know, it's a first response, not a last resort. Through the Spirit, we are able to patiently endure in our weaknesses and our suffering. Romans 8, 22 and 28. Most of you know 28. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together with labor pains until now. And not only that, but we ourselves, who have the Spirit as first fruits, we also groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting the adoption and the redemption of our bodies. Now in this hope we are saved, yet hope that is seen is not hope, because who hopes for what he sees? But we hope for what we do not see. We eagerly wait for it with patience. In the same way, the Spirit also joins to help us in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us and for us with unspoken groanings. And he who searches the heart knows the Spirit's mindset, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. Leave that there, Tammy, please. Thank you. The Spirit is working on your behalf for things, good things to come out of bad things. I could say, well, what good is going to come out of Tom's death? Our daughter is 28 and widowed. What good is going to come out of it? I don't. If you gave me a list, a blank piece of paper and a pen, I don't know that I would be able to write down anything. But the Spirit of God is working in and through and past Tom's death for something good to come out of it. One day I'll be able to fill out the paper. I just can't do it right now. But it doesn't mean that the Spirit is not working. It says the Spirit is at work, causing something good to come out of what we thought was a really bad season of our life. And you've got to trust that. That's what the Holy Spirit does, that even without your prompting, because that's who he is. Jesus is on the throne, ascended king, sympathizing, interceding. The Holy Spirit's doing exactly the same thing. And God is working things out through Jesus on the throne, through the Holy Spirit here on earth, and he's working something good out. I believe it will happen to us and to you. I just can't tell you what it is. But he knows what it is, and he's working on that behalf. Too often, we separate the Holy Spirit from the ascended king. I'm asking you not to do that. Today will be the last of our next 40 days in our series. But we've got ascension, and then we have the coming of the Holy Spirit. I want you to see that before he ascended, his last mention was about the Holy Spirit. So as he ascends, we have 10 days later, the Holy Spirit descending, coming to the church to empower us. E. Stanley Jones has a really neat quote. Often says that unless the Holy Spirit fills, the human spirit fails. You and I have to realize that you and I are going to have in this world, in this life, not to rely on our own strength, our intellect, our knowledge, our creativity, our own willpower. We have to rely on the Holy Spirit. And he sent the Holy Spirit to do these things that I have mentioned today. Look at John 16, 5 through 7. John 16, 5 through 7. He says, but now I am going away. This is back in the Gospels, okay? He tells them, I am going away to him who sent me. And he said, and now one of you asked me, where are you going? Yet because I have spoken these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I am telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away. Why? He's ascended king. He's directing the mission of the church. He's working through his Holy Spirit. It's imperative. He can be everywhere now. At that time, he couldn't. It is necessary for me. You will be benefited by me going away, because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come to you. The counselor is the Holy Spirit, the paraclete. If I go, then I will send him to you. I leave you with these questions today. Will you let the Holy Spirit fill you? Will you let the Holy Spirit guide you? It's impossible for him to lie to you, because he leads you to all truth. Will you let him fill you? Will you let him guide you? And when you let him fill you, and when you let him guide you, I promise you this result. It will be more of Jesus and less of yourself. Less of me. Let's pray. Father, we're grateful for the work of the Holy Spirit through us as individual people, believers, and then through the communities of faith throughout all the world. We're grateful. Forgive us, Lord, for grieving the Holy Spirit, not responding to him, for quenching the Holy Spirit. Forgive us of that. Father, we ask you to fill us with the Holy Spirit, and then we surrender to his guidance. We say in the words of John, as he recorded your words, we ask that your Holy Spirit breathe on us. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray. Amen. Our invitation is given for you to come and surrender your life to Christ today. You may have never done that. Let today be that day. There'll be people in the altar who will help you with that decision. If you're here and you're a believer, we offer communion. The bread represents his body given, the drink his blood shed. Take the bread, dip it in the drink, and before you eat it, remember his sacrifice, and then give thanks. You're here and you need somebody to pray with and somebody to pray for you. There are people here for you. You come. The invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. Church, would you stand? Counselors, would you find your spots? Logan's going to lead us, and you respond.